is made. So for some reason, like maybe another ark incident is on its way. I don't know, but no more water, he said. So this will prevent the fire, hopefully. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. We're looking at the heroes of our faith, Faith's Hall of Fame. It's been wonderful as we've been looking at these individuals who through faith did some unbelievable, but they are believable because God spoke them to us, told us about it, recorded it for us. So they're not just mere stories. They're actual happenings with average people. So Hebrews 11, we'll be looking today at verse 23 through 29. But I think I'll only get through verse 23 today. We might break this up as different kinds of faith all incorporated together. So we're going to be looking 23, as we're going to see, is about Moses. And Seth did Jacob last week. He did Joseph last week, excuse me. He did Joseph, did a wonderful job on that. And today with Moses, even though he was who he was, it should be an example and an inspiration to us of what God can do with a surrendered individual, no matter what age he might be or she. So before we get started, you know, we're looking at Moses. He wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He was considered the most important prophet of Judaism. And I feel he's also probably the most important prophet of Christianity as we look at our lives today and use the Old Testament, I hope, as much as we do the New Testament, because each one is the story unfolding, and we need them both. Don't ever exclude the fact that something is written in the Old Testament that it doesn't have an application for us today. So those five books that you'll read, starting in Genesis, were those books written by God, written by the Holy Spirit through Moses. And plenty of stories in there if you start. Find where Moses began in there. I'm going to leave that to you. Read through those five books until you get to the spot. And just as a hint, so you know it's coming to an end, when before you get to Joshua, you're going to see that Moses died and God called Joshua into action. But with all of those chapters, there's only seven verses here that pertain to Moses. And I started looking at that and think of all the stories, and you know, we've mentioned that so far. Why was only one little aspect of Joseph's life brought out? Why was only an aspect of this one much? And I feel that God today is showing us, you know, he's also mentioned in Acts chapter 7, he's mentioned in Hebrews, our text today. But out of all those verses throughout all those books and chapters, why only these small examples of faith? And especially with Moses, as I looked at his life and I looked through to see what else, when I looked and thought, why did he pick these little sniglets out of here for us to look at and try to apply? And I was looking at Moses through all these other ones, and you know, he questioned God. Anybody, if you ever feel like this could be you, I mean, raise your hand. He questioned God. I'm only kidding on that. He questioned God. He struck the rock. Remember that story? He was annoyed. Everybody was around him. Everyone was griping at him. Why'd you bring us out of Egypt? We had onions and leeks. And you want water? I'll give you water. And boom. That's a perfect example, I think, of every one of us in our own homes, or at times when we think nobody is looking. We do those same things. Why didn't he talk about that in there to straighten me up? Why didn't he tell me about Moses' anger at that time? Why didn't he tell me about how he killed that Egyptian taskmaster in here? He did that. He saw him abusing some of his fellow citizens as his people, and he killed this guy. He stuttered and told God that he couldn't speak for him. How many of us are in that? But I can't witness. I can't. I don't know the verse and the chapter and all this. So I looked at all of these negatives in a sense, and I thought, why, God, did you not put any of those in there for me to apply to my life? And he told me, it's because they're in here, and I want you to read about it. But right now, what I'm looking at is faith, not failure. And how many of us are sitting in here today that, yes, we have faith, but because of my failures, because I was, or I still am, or I do this and I don't do that, we feel that we're like out of God's list of servants. He's got us over here until we get a little better. The answer to that is God is showing today, each one of us, our faith, not our failures. Not our failures. And I think that holds a lot of us back. It holds us back from coming. You say something to somebody in church sometimes, and then you stop coming because you're afraid to sit near the person because what are they thinking about? Oh, they're talking about me. I mean, we have to stop living in that mindset of fault and failure and start realizing I have faith in an almighty God who can do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. And I think that's what God is going to show us today. So let's read Hebrews. I'm going to read that section anyhow to 29 and see what God gives us through the first one. It says, by faith. Is it dark in here? Or are my eyes growing dim? Yeah. I can hardly see this thing. I need one of those little headlamps like when you live in Alaska. Whoop, JoJo, sorry. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child or a beautiful child or a handsome child. I don't know what your translations say. There was something special about him that made his parents do what they're about to do through faith. They saw something. And there's, I don't know, true or not, but I read this one thing about, and I'm rambling a little bit, they saw something that wasn't yet. And isn't that what we're talking about, faith? And I read this little blurb somewhere in one of the commentaries that within the Jewish faith, some of the parents, when they introduced, here's a brand new baby. This is my child, Tom, the doctor. I want you to meet him. He's not a doctor yet. You're only two. But they would see something in their children, how they would present to themselves, to others, their children. I wonder, this is my son, you know, guy that his only purpose of his head is keep his two ears apart. That's what my dad told me one day, you know. We need to bolster our children. And I looked at that and I saw that's exactly what these parents would do. And they saw
flashlight.
But it don't work, it just blinks, right? No, I couldn't do it. It's not bad. Usually when I work around the ranch and stuff, like on the maintenance on the equipment, I put this in my mouth and hold it. Is that okay? I can multitask. So his parents hid him for 3 months because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was grown, we're talking about times from 40 to 80. I mean, there's a lot of questions in here. When was he grown? It wasn't when he hit that age of accountability, but God started using him at 40 and didn't really, really use him until he was 80 years old. I mean, that should give us inspiration of what God can still do with us. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Maybe I do need this. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, in verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. Wow. Father God, help us to see your wisdom for our lives, your thoughts and your plans that are far above each and every one of ours, not only for ourselves, but our children also, Father, no matter what age they might be. So help us look at this today. Help us to have ears to hear. Help us to have hearts being prepared by you, Father God, that we might move into action, application, just stepping out of our comfort zone in one area this week in the choices that we have to make. In Jesus' name, amen. 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Choices is what I saw in this. And I started thinking, you know, we all, every one of us, make choices, don't we? Every day we make choices. What we're going to be focusing on today in that text that we're in is choices, godly choices. Spiritual choice. You know, we all make choices every day. So I don't want to get so foolish, but some choices don't matter in a sense. Oh God, what should I eat this morning? Should I eat Rice Krispies or Cheerios? And then we stand there until God speaks to us. That's a foolish choice. God is saying, eat something. Just eat something and let's get going. Or don't eat. And I'll nourish you. Let's get going. Those are those foolish choices. Oh God, should I work or go to church? Well, you know, it says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So if your work demands that you work on a Sunday, go to work until they realize you're serious about your faith. Don't use it as an excuse. Oh God, should I do? Not those choices, but a spiritual choice, a godly choice that's going to affect my life, not only in the present, but possibly beyond my generation, onto my grandchildren, onto my great-grandchildren. And that's what we see today, because their choices, well, they affected them, but they're affecting us today even. All these, what was Moses, 1400 BC, somewhere in that time frame? His choices, his parents' choices are affecting you and I today. And still can affect us. That's miraculous. That God's thing isn't just a one-time shot in the pan. It's over. Okay, I made that. Let's go. That we have to think and consider our choices that we make on a daily basis. What they're going to do right now, they might cause a little, as we're seeing, pain, suffering, separation. But what is the eternal benefit of the choices that not only they made, but what you and I make? They're going to affect people all around us, our children especially. And we see two types here, faith and choice, really, are two types, and that's Moses' parents are the ones I want to look at. Are we okay back there?
Yes. Everything's cool.
We see two types of choices today, and the one I want to look at is Moses' parents and really bring it up to us. Some of us have young children right now, not as young or maybe close to it as Amram, I'll say, and Jochebed. We don't know if that's the parents. They're not listed specifically, but the choice that they made was made because it was a spiritual choice. They defied everything, the edict that was made to kill children, we'll see in a bit. They defied it because they looked at a better purpose. As parents, and I was hoping there were more children here today or young ones, the choices that we make right now, make the right one. One wrong choice, left uncorrected, will change your life and the people around you completely. One correct choice made spiritually under God's guidance and continued will change again your life and other. They're not just choices like we think they are. And you know, we had a choice yesterday. Where do we eat? There were six of us all together. Well, do you ever sit with six people except for in the church van when there used to be like 13? Where do you want to go eat? Well, I'd like to. Choices of where to go. We couldn't even make a choice where to go and eat, right? One of those foolish jokes. Well, let's go here. So we went there and we signed in. And the guy said, it's going to be 30 minutes. So we sat there for 10 and then thought, some said, I don't want to sit here for any longer. Let's go to this place. Well, who wants to go to that place? Nobody answered. Choices are hard. I'm just, you know, but they have to be made by someone. And each and every one of us, there are going to be individual choices you have to make this week, and there's going to be a family choice that you might have to make. And that's what was done by Moses' parents. They had a choice to make, and I'm sure it wasn't just the mother, as we see in this story. They talked to each other. They decided together the choices for their child, and I hope we can apply that, whether they're grown children, small children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. What we choose today spiritually is going to affect them. How will it affect them? That's something I'll leave you up to. How will my choice, how will the choice I make today affect my children, my grandchildren, my grandchildren? Because I don't think we think long and hard enough about that. Or to the point of, can we imagine the separation anxiety, if that's the word technically? There is separation anxiety, correct, in the medical field, that these two parents must have had. You're going to kill every boy born, blah, 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 or else, you know, you're going to get killed is what was going to happen. They weren't afraid of that. They were afraid of God. What would God do? Well, we don't have that problem. Well, I think we better wise up and look at abortion, because the story we're going to read in a few seconds here in Exodus is very similar to what's coming on today with China. We looked at, there was a one-child policy at one time. Now, they've corrected that. They've moved it to two. Then they moved it to three. But there were taxes against that. There were beatings that were against more children. Abortion today has claimed, I forget what the stat was for, last year was 960,000 known abortions. What could those kids have been? Now, some of them were medical, some of them were unintentional. That's the ones we know of. That wasn't the backroom ones. That wasn't ones that were done, you know, this was done either in a hospital, it was done through medications, it was, you know, stuff you take. What would those children have been today? What, can you imagine if Moses, just one choice by one parent, said, no, we're not, we're going to kill them just like we've been told, or else our lives are in jeopardy. Where would we be today, I wonder? What would we be following today if it wasn't for the parents of Moses and their choice and how it will affect others? Go to Exodus. We need to look at this anyhow. Exodus in chapter 1. We've got the story, and you'll have to fill in the rest of the blanks, but I think that would be good. It's always good to know the whole story. In verse 21, it says, "It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that they made them some houses." What happened was, you know, well, read the rest of the story. "And Pharaoh, in 22, charged all his people, saying, 'Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.'" It's an edict. And there's edicts, in a sense, that we've paid attention to that I think maybe has helped change the course of our country and maybe even the world. Choices are important is what I'm trying to get across. Those are parents. Again, I just wonder, how do you do that? How do you do that? What kind of faith are we looking at here of just two regular people to put their child, not knowing, is that boat, you know, the little, I mean, they basically made a little ark. You know, it was bulrushes they put them in, and then there was pitch that they put on there. Pretty similar to the ark, but even so, knowing the possibilities of what could happen, they still made this choice. Proverbs 22. Somehow, some way, their faith was so bolstered from the faith people that they had in their ancestry, from the stories that were told by other parents. I feel that they had the wisdom within them to follow God, to fear Him more than the king's edict, more than what they knew could possibly come on their lives. They had God's voice in their ear. And in Proverbs 22, verse 6, we all know this, but I wonder, do we do that? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Two sides of the spectrum. They put him in there when he was a baby. Hit him for 3 months. Can you imagine the fear that was in their lives about what's going on? 3 months trying to hide a baby. And then decided it's time for his life that we do this. But they started right in the very beginning. Let's train him up. And we as parents train up a child in the way he should go, child. And when he's old, there's a gap there. How many of us are, yeah, but my kid went crazy. My kid lost their minds. And they went this way and that way. So what? That's finding out who we are. That's finding out who we believe in. And if we train them up with us living large, our Christianity in front of them, they might not accept it right there as we look, but when that day comes into their life that they have to make a choice, they're going to remember moms and dads. And this is what they did. And maybe, just maybe, give it a shot. But without us training them up, doing what we feel God wants us to do with them, I fear for their futures, if you would. What is God doing? Train them up. If he's born to be a mechanic, don't try to make him an astronaut, please. We put too much pressure on our children. We make them, in a sense, be little mini-me's, if that's the word. You know, from that, I didn't watch that. I saw some. The guy had just a little guy on his arm here. What I couldn't accomplish, what I couldn't do, I try to force that on my children. That's not training up a child in the way they should go. If they're a musician, encourage it. If they're, you know, an athlete, encourage it. If they're just a regular, you know, normal person, encourage that it's okay. That's what his parents did, and I thought the result was amazing. It took a long time. But how we fear and obey God should affect our parenting. So don't, with all that said, don't fear choices. Because as we look at that story, God's grace, God's love, God's kindness, God's eternal purpose can be found in the most unexpected places that we ever look. A baby, an edict, parents, having a choice, not how we, where are we going to live? Oh, the donkey is breaking down again. Oh, you know, the cart is, the wheel is missing. The choice about this is our child. What are we going to do? Look at him, or look at her, or look at them as they are now. What can God do with this individual? What can God help with in their lives to help other people? Man, if we make those decisions now, I just wonder where our Christianity that I fear is in great jeopardy in our nation right now. Where will it go? What do we have as an inheritance left for these children? There was an inheritance about sands in the sea, remember Abraham, and stars in the sky, and people following God. Just a decision could have changed that drastically, but it brought us to where we are today. So look for God in some of the most unexpected places, and he'll pop up. If we do it with faith, it's a choice that has to be made. And if we haven't made it, or we feel like we really messed up over the years in some of our decisions, so what? Do you or I, do we serve a God that's bigger than mistakes? I think yes. Do we serve a God that no matter what I did up to this point today, do I serve a God that's big enough to change that whole, to just wipe that out? Because remember, he doesn't remember our sin, it says in the Word of God. He's put them behind us as far as the east is from the west. And we're looking at success stories in Hebrews of people who messed up royally. As much, if not as much, as we would probably do in the same situation. God wants to use us. But he'll be in all of those. So turn back to Exodus, if you would. So I was saying, just the choice that you're going to be confronted with this week, remember this. Remember about God is still in all of this. His love, His grace, His mercy, His kindness, His plan can be seen in my decision today on those spiritual decisions, not what car should I buy or what, you know. Again, focus on the spiritual end of the choices that we have to make. And we have this story in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, and I think it would be good to just look at it. So verse 1 says, "And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months." This is our story from the New Testament. Do we see how things do go together completely? Old Testament, New Testament. It's one book, although it's made up of many. And here's the rest of the story, as we used to hear from Paul Harvey. And now for the rest of the story. "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, covered it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." God's already starting to work in the choice. Do you see it? Whose sister?
Moses'
sister. So, you know, she just didn't, her spiritual decision wasn't just throwing her baby to the wind. Here he is in the water, and wherever he lands, I hope God take. There was a plan. Not just theirs, but God's. And then God has Moses' sister sitting there at that time waiting again to complete his plan. "And his sister stood afar off," verse 4, "to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it." Hey, go get, what is that? Go get that. How many slaves did she have? I don't know. Could have been anybody. It's a baby boy. Drowned him. That could have happened. But God was already in the details. God was already, because of the faith of the individuals, he was already taking care of this situation. "And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter," I mean, this is as slick as could be. Wow, that's Moses. She knows what's going on. "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse this child?'" Guess who this was? Moses' mom. How bad, you know, I mean, in this instance, the decision is getting like, wow, this is too good to be true. Our God can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Do we really, really understand that? Or do we just say it? Because it sounds good, like, wow, he knows the scriptures. I know the scriptures, but do I know the one that wrote that scripture? Do I know that he's the one, not me? So here's the plan again. God's grace, love, kindness, I said, is in some of your most disappointing situations that you're going to fall into this week. But God's already in them if we're making them with him. It's almost, you know, it's a covenant. It's just a, I got you. I mean, we can almost feel that God saying, I got you. I got you. Come over here. I got you. Do I believe this? Shall I go and get somebody to nurse the baby? You know, gee, I know who that is already. "And Pharaoh's daughter ate, said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me.'" She had time with the child that she just lost. Everything that they feared possibly that could happen with the king and the world and everything else like us. What's going to happen when the banks collapse? What's going to happen when China bombs us? What's going to happen when... Stop! God's in control. We should have concern for this, but don't let it drive every one of our decisions and choices that we might have. "Take her. Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee," I'm going to give you some wages. I'm going to add to it even. This is getting better and better. They listen to God, and please don't do something for God and then expect. Oh. But he took, you know, things that they never dreamt of. Now they're getting paid for doing a dastardly deed, you know. Man, I don't know. I'm sorry. This just so excites me. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. You and I are drawn out. That's what that name Moses means. Drawn out. I complained about my name, Douglas. And in Gaelic, it means from the dark waters. And I told my dad one day, thanks a lot for that name. It's like hanging a label on me. But we're all drawn out. We were drawn out of this world. We were pulled out of a drowning situation. Why can't we trust God with our children as these parents did? On those choices that we have to make with our children, what's going on, how it's going to affect, we need to sit, stop. The Psalms, I love it when it says Selah. It means stop. Think about this, not just give it a quickie. Oh, 10% return on my money. That's a good one. Let's do that. No, sit and thank God. Give me the scriptures. Give me the assurance in my heart before I make this decision. These are things that we can see just like what happened here. We might have to give them up again. As 10 says, and Moses was taken from her after that, became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We might have to release our children a little bit during these dark times. But know that God is going to bring them back. One way or the other. And before we try to make our children, kind of making this about kids that aren't here, but maybe it's good for us to hear as parents, adult children, children, before we try to make them choose properly and godly and spiritually, we better make sure that we're doing it and that we're manifesting it, that we're exemplifying what this says. We've got to do it. And like I said, it's time to, there used to be a thing back in the 80s about living out loud. Do you remember that? Any of us? Meaning almost be arrogant, but don't be arrogant. Live, don't be afraid. Even if it's for our children, the choice. This choice isn't for right now, honey, darling, precious one, whatever you call him, Jason. It's not for right now. It's for the future. It's for your kids. It's for the ones that might come after that. Somehow God is going to work this together for good. And we've got to show that before we, oh, just do this. Well, you should be doing it. How could you? How many times have we told, how did you do that? How did you make that stupid choice? How did you go and let you, just like you and Dad, Mom, you know, we made the same things, didn't we? We made those decisions because we just felt they were just momentary choices. But choices last for an eternity. Joshua. Joshua 24. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, might not be the thing to do today. Maybe you like sleep a little bit better than choosing the Lord. Maybe you like hiking a little bit better than we do the Lord. Maybe whatever it might be. But the word of the Lord is saying unto you, choose you this day whom you will serve. There's two options and choices. Two options. One of them is the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. The things of the world, homes, cars, names, businesses, whatever it might be. Those are the gods of the world. All those foolish choices that sometimes have a life-changing attachment to them, I don't doubt that. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. What's our choices in this land that we dwell in right now in our little town of Nederland? In our state of Colorado. But as far as me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What an answer. What an answer. Choices. You're going to have to make them this week. 1 Corinthians 10:13. My favorites, one of my favorite, I'll never leave you and forsake you, is my best. 1 Corinthians 10:13 was my other one because it was a call for a cop that was in very immediate need of help. And you'd have an army of cops on the corner as soon as you put out over the air 10:13. Fifth Avenue and 125th, right, Ma? There's no temptation that has taken you. Oh, yeah, but you don't understand, Doug, the trial I'm going through, the choice I have to make, this thing that's just hounding me. No, God says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, or that trial, or whatever you might have in your translation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What we've seen, I better end it, is an example of faith, but faith that is hooked up with trust, which we trust when we can see it. I mean, I know that, but when we can't see it, does our faith wane a little bit? Does doubt come in a little bit? What we're looking at Moses' parents and the choice that they made was a faith choice of trust, but sacrifice. And I'm thinking, wow, I go with the trust part, but the sacrifice is hard. We nonetheless need to make it as parents and sometimes, not always, sometimes leave the results to God. They're probably much better than my thoughts. They're probably much better in the end than I can come up with trying to make some of these spiritual choices. And the faith choice that you're going to make this week, and this is, I'm not trying to put any fear in us, but every one of us will have a choice. We're being faced with it already today as we entered into this building, or it's going to be a faith choice that we're going to make within the course of this week. It must be made in fear. Fear meaning awesome, reverent respect for the God that he is. It's got to be made in that. Not what the world is thinking, not what my IRA says, not what a college that's said my children can't come here, not for a child that the doctors say there's no hope for. These decisions have to be made in trust and confidence without wavering and fear of an almighty God. No wavering. Short-term suffering, that's what I saw in Moses' parents. I looked at them through that story, kept wondering how could they do it. They had a short-term suffering. Be prepared for that. But the eternal blessing far outweighed anything that was temporal. Anything that was temporal. Think about that story. Think about our lives as we try to apply it to it. Also shows that, try to find who exactly Moses' parents were. I said Amram and Jochebed. Very possible, but nothing definite. Then try to find them again. These weren't big faith heroes of either Old or New Testament, and that should show you and I that God is only looking for a willing heart. Somebody who will make the spiritual choice to follow his directive without question, no matter what that cost might be, that could be you and I. Except for the genealogy in here, I couldn't find them. I might have been in too much of a hurry, but I couldn't find it. But that shows you and I, doesn't it? We don't have to have a name. We don't have to have a position. We don't have great stories to make people inspired. God used the unordinary, just the plain, the out of sight, and then he worked his miracle. Look what he did. He had it found by Moses' sister, had the mother nurse to be. I mean, it was my gosh. How could that be? God is how that could be. Hebrews 11:23, one little verse, but it has eternal significance. Can I have one more? Let's just turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're talking about faith. We started out this book, Hebrews 11:1, on faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. This scripture will take our choices, our knowledge of Hebrews 11:1, and I pray increase it. Because God says, for all things, verse 15, are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And God gets the glory for Moses, doesn't he? Parents' obedience, for sure. They're in there. God didn't forget that. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our slight affliction, so we heard about two parents having to put their baby boy, their beautiful baby boy, into an ark and send it off to God. I don't even want to challenge anybody. Could you do that? Because I still haven't let go of our daughter. Just fleshly human truth, guys. I know where she is. You know where yours are. You know where yours are. But you tell me that you've let it go. I think you're telling me a story. There's still something. What else could I have done? What else could have been, you know? But they didn't do that. They let it go and they let God. For a slight affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not, here's Hebrews 1 in chapter 11. For while we look at the things which are seen, but after the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What can God do with your decision, your choice today, with your life, maybe one of your loved ones' lives? Maybe that loved one isn't even in your life yet, but it's on the way. And that choice and that decision that I am going to leave an inheritance that isn't going to be corrupted down here by moth or rust. It's going to be an inheritance in heaven that God will take care of until the day I got there. And nothing of this world is going to come against his plan. That kind of faith, I don't know about you, that's what I want. I'm not there yet. I haven't attained to that. I'm your pastor, but I'm not there. But I want that. I really want it. And I want it more than I want a 56 Nomad. You know, I really do. I'm looking over there at my friend because he understands the value of a 56 Nomad, you know. I want that kind of faith. I don't need to beat myself up today because I don't have it. God, when he writes my story, God, when he writes your story, is not going to put all Doug's faults and failures. He's going to talk about the faith that you and I had. And that's where it's going to be well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. Not, holy mackerel, you just about made it, bro. God's not going to do that. He's going to talk about our faith. So let's start building faith today. Let's start working on it and make a good choice this week because it will be made in him. Amen. We're going to go to the table. It's like I always say, please don't let any of our faults, fallings, don't let them keep you from this table. God wants to meet us here. He wants us to remember everything he's ever said to us, that those promises are yea and amen, that he's going to do those things that we can't even begin to imagine through our faith in him alone. So that's why we're coming to the table today. And if you're not, if you haven't given your life to Christ in here, I don't know. Only God knows the heart. Please, today, sit quietly, head bowed, and say, Lord, I love you. Come into my life. Accept him now while it's still time, while it's still daylight, and we can still walk and make those choices. Choose life. He puts before us every day, life or death. Choose life. What an easy decision. Amen. Craig? Could I have this? Yes, that's a terrible thing to ask in front of everybody. Because you say,